You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, 7 p.m. tip against Miami coming up tonight. If you are listening on Tuesday, we're here with you every single weekday on the Locked On Syracuse podcast. Tim Leonard, Tyler Rocky. Let's jump right into Miami here, Ty, in our first segment and just kind of
Real quick, wellness check on your laptop. I mean, is that thing working still?
Like, yeah.
Like, what happened? We need the fallout from last night.
Yeah.
Nothing went up in flames.
False alarm. I really was amazed. I ran as soon as we finished the pod. I grabbed a towel nearby and just did a full, you know, rapid fire sweep of the area as quick as I could. And really, it was no lasting effects, no immediate scares, anything like that. I was amazed. My Mac
you dunk
held
it
up
in some
strong.
Rice or anything? Like it just it's no. good to go. All
it's
right,
good to
well,
go.
How about it?
I've
maybe
had...
that's an omen. Is that an omen for Syracuse? I feel like that is.
Well, they need some type of omen right now. So if we're reaching for one,
anything
I'm all
works.
For it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, glass half full approach. But yeah, Miami 6-6 on the year. They're 77 on KenPom. The thing with them though is they've just been ravaged by injuries. So it's like they were supposed to be better this year. And really, no program in the past 2 years has had worse injury luck than the Miami Hurricanes. I mean, it feels like...
Totally agree.
They just haven't had their guys now for two full seasons. Chris Likes has been out for what's been 10 games now. He's arguably their best player. Their second best player, Cameron McGusty, has been out. Earl Timberlake has been out for them. They've lost two other guys that were starters and returnees out for the year. So the number of injuries has really given this team just a false record of what they have right now. But and the thing is, we just don't know. Like, we didn't think Champagne was going to play the other night for Pitt, so maybe Likes comes back. It's college sports. It's tough.
They've been up in the air these last couple of games, and they very well could have played any of those games too. And you wonder, maybe are they saving it for a home game so there's not travel involved and these guys can be a little more right going into the game? But you mentioned the 6-6 record. This is not a team that's 6-6. This is a 6-6 that feels a lot more like 9-3 than it does 6-6 right now, because you look at that one little stretch, end of December, early January, 2-point loss at Virginia Tech, a shorthanded game, 1-point loss at home against Clemson, a good Clemson team then, and another shorthanded game. 2-point loss to North Carolina, shorthanded game. Now you look at that Pitt game where they lost 70-55 and the BC game 84-62, and they're playing some walk-ons in these games. Like, that's how desperate the times are for this Hurricanes team. And then they go out and pick up a very, very impressive win against Louisville too. So that's why I say this is a 6-6 Miami team, but they look a lot more like 9-3 than they do 6-6.
Yeah, their last two games have been very puzzling because BC put up 18 threes on them and just ran them out of the gym. And we know that Syracuse ran BC out of the gym. So there's, I mean, it's any given night, I guess, but also it's sort of weird that they allowed BC to do that to them. And then they followed it up by that 78-72 win over Louisville, where they played great the entire night. And the story for them has been Isaiah Wong, who is a sophomore guy who really came on at the end of last year, was very efficient for them. Some Syracuse fans will remember him from the last game, but now he's fifth in the ACC in scoring because they don't have those two guards that were supposed to be leading this team this year. And Wong goes out for 30 points. He has 7 rebounds, 6 assists against Louisville. He's kind of just doing the Chris Likes type of things for this offense because he has full reins, because this is not the roster they envision them having at this point in the season.
It's, yeah, I mean, you look at the shorthandedness of this team. I mean, that's the story of the season, because, and this very well could come down to being a kind of a know-your-personnel sort of game for Syracuse, because they don't shoot the three ball well. In fact, they only have one guy who really shoots the three ball well. It's Matt Cross. You're going to have to find that guy all night long. He's a 46% three-point shooter. Outside of that, no one really is getting the job done. Now, if Chris Likes comes back in this game, he's another name you have to watch out for. In his limited play, he's shooting 45%. But there's not a lot of threats from the perimeter here. Now, down low, this is a big, big Miami team. They're 18th in the country in height, and a lot of that is Nigeer Brooks, because he is a menace both sides of the glass, offensive, defensive. He's going to get a lot of rebounds in this game. And I think that's where this game could come down to, is can Syracuse get a body on Brooks, and can they maybe not win the rebounding battle, but can you hold serve on the rebound battle in this game? Because this is a Miami team that's solid, just a solid rebounding team, and you're going to have to combat that.
They're not UNC, but they're average, which is way, way better than Syracuse at rebounding the basketball in the past 5 or 6 years. Brooks is going to be the guy to key in on for sure. He's a Cincinnati transfer. He's 7 feet tall, like 250 pounds. And you bring up Matt Cross. It's interesting. He was a teammate of Kadari Richmond's at Brewster Academy last year. They had a good Brewster team. So this is a Miami team that I'm assuming some guys might be back from injury. Again, it's just hard to tell. And if
I would guess
of those
one
guys,
of the three. Didn't Larinaga say on the ACC conference call he's expecting Earl Timberlake for sure?
Right.
And then Likes and McGusty have been game time decisions for like the last five games.
Yeah, it feels like it's been forever now. And with Syracuse's luck, like Champagne, they'll probably bring back
Chris
Likes.
Yeah, all three
Likes.
Will be back.
Yeah. Which, I mean, fresh off the way they played against Louisville, like we'll get into our prop shot bets. We're going to get into DeBundo's digits in a little bit as well. But I was sort of surprised when I saw the spread of this game at 5.5 at betonline.ag as of us recording this. And I mean, like, it does feel like Syracuse and Miami are kind of on the same tier, at least coming off the Louisville game. Before the Louisville game, I would have been a lot more confident about Syracuse winning this game.
I kind of feel like they're similar but opposite, and here's why. Syracuse has way more talent on their team than this Miami team, especially if you take Likes and Timberlake and McGusty out of the equation. No doubt, paper matchup, it's Syracuse. But this is also a Syracuse team that plays down to the competition, as we've seen time and time again this year. Meanwhile, on the other side, you've got this Miami squad that has just overachieved, overperformed, next man up. That's what it's been all season long for them. So they're not nearly as good as every single team they've played so far this season in ACC play, but they have played up to the competition. So that's where you kind of see this sort of clash of the Titans here. And what's it going to be? Is it, where do you lean when that happens? Because it's a very interesting thing, and I don't know where I would necessarily lean in a situation like that. I feel like one of these teams has to buck that trend. You're either going to see a Miami team that falls completely flat, or we're going to see a Syracuse team that is going to go out there and play kind of like they did against BC. I don't really see a way that Syracuse can sort of play to the competition here while Miami can rise to the competition here.
All right, quick break to tell you guys about a great deal we have for you at betonline.ag, which is a great new up-and-coming sportsbook. You can sign up today for a free account over at betonline.ag, and we've got a promo code for you that'll give you a 50% welcome bonus. That promo code is LOCKEDON, all one word, LOCKEDON. It'll get you a 50% welcome bonus with your brand new free account at betonline.ag. NFL playoffs coming up this weekend. We're going to be given our picks later on in the show for the Syracuse-Miami game. I saw it was 5.5 as we were recording at betonline.ag. So maybe you want to wager on Syracuse a little bit. Think they have a big bounce back game. You can get in on the action today. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit at betonline.ag. So let's get into that. Basically how Syracuse is going to win this game and what they have to do to win this game. First, before we talk about that, we're going to give you a ton of numbers in a little bit from Anthony DeBundo and DeBundo's digits. Our guy's going to give his breakdown in a sec. I just want to say I did some digging today. I was bored, so naturally I went to KenPom Syracuse history and just kind of tortured myself and looked at basically the crux of what I was trying to figure out is, okay, there's been 7 years now of this strong downturn in the regular season where they've been on the bubble or NIT or whatever for 7 years. I was trying to figure out what is drastically different statistically from the teams in the past 7 years to the teams that were 2014 to 1997, when that's as far back as KenPom goes in his database. And the original instinct to me and for maybe a lot of people out there is like, oh, well, the rebounding's been terrible lately in the front court size. In reality, Syracuse has just been awful rebounding the basketball, really, in their history. Like, as far as KenPom goes back, they have never been better than 131st in the nation in offensive rebound rate, and that was in 1999. They've been, like, outside the top 300 in the country in offensive rebound rate lately. It hasn't been good, but that's really not it. When they were good, the zone has always given up a lot of rebounds, statistically at least, and a lot of offensive rebounds. That's always been a problem. And you're always getting, there's always going to be some constants in the zone, which is a lot of three-pointers will be attempted against you. And actually, in reality, their three-point defense is still pretty solid this year. It's 44th in the country, right around 29% defensively.
Second in the ACC, yeah.
Yeah, so like, it's naive to look at it and be like, well, the three-point defense has gotten a whole lot worse and the rebound has gotten a whole lot worse. Yes, it's bad. I see the same things when we're watching the games, but compared to other Syracuse teams, that hasn't been the difference. I did notice a drastic difference, though, in two-point field goal defense. So I kind of crunched some numbers here. The 18 years before this seven-year drought, so 1997, as far as it goes back to 2014, which was that Tyler Ennis ACC year, if you add them all up and you average it out, their average two-point field goal defense in that time period is 54th in the country. Pretty respectable. They were only outside the top 100 in those 18 years three times. And it was actually three consecutive years from 2008 to 2010. They were right outside the top 100 each time, but always very solid in two-point defense and actually pretty solid in two-point offense, which has dipped lately too. In the last 7 years, if you average out their two-point defense ranking, it's 107th nationally average compared to the 54 in the 18 years preceding that. In five of the last 7 years, they've been outside the top 100 in two-point field goal defense. They're 128 right now this year on KenPom in two-point field goal defense. So what does that mean? Just a long way of me saying that I think what we're seeing is they don't have the rim protection or the rim protectors they normally have. So it is the front court problem. It just might not be so much the rebounding compared to actually it's more just stopping guys at the rim and allowing a much higher field goal percentage at the rim when you've got Dolaje back there compared to like Fab Mello and guys like that that were before him.
Now, not to piss all over your stat here, but if we crunch it down to season and just the conference, basically, I'm going to provide the optimistic look here for you, all right? In conference only play this season, Syracuse is third in the ACC in two-point defense and first in the conference in block percentage. And that's all without Barama Sidibe, and that's also while going up against some pretty good bigs these last couple of games. So if you want some semblance of optimism, that's the frame of mind I'm looking at right there. You're going to get Sidibe back, fingers crossed, at some point. Who knows? Maybe even this game. Maybe this is the one. Who knows? Probably not, but that's always up in the air game to game.
Yeah, I don't think it is,
like.
But yeah.
Yeah, but no, I'm with you. And maybe this is where the numbers lie, too, because, okay, yeah, all those percentages are very nice for Syracuse, but what happens when you block a shot and it just goes right back to the opposition and then they lay it up on the second chance? Well, guess what? That's a 50% shot percentage as opposed to the 100% that you're getting, and you're picking up the block there, but that's where the rebounding comes into effect because this team is worst in the ACC right now in offensive rebounding percentage. 41% of the time a shot goes up, the opposition is picking up the rebound. That's embarrassing. That's atrocious. That's where you're concerned. So those do all three of those numbers tie into each other? Probably in some regard, but I'm with you. I do think the numbers are slightly lying in that regard, but if you want some sort of optimism, the numbers aren't terrible, and you should be getting Sidibe back at some point.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. They need to rebound the basketball a lot better. I still fully understand.
None of this gets fixed without rebounding.
Yeah, and all I'm saying is, historically, Syracuse has been bad rebounding really for as long as Syracuse has played the 2-3 zone, strictly. That just comes with the 2-3 zone. The difference is, some of these really good Syracuse defensive teams are really good at two-point field goal defense. And I think we're constantly talking about the top of the zone in the three-point D, and they're giving up a lot of three-point shots. And it has been slightly worse of late, but we're still talking about one of the better three-point defenses statistically in the country, and they're allowing a lot of three-point field goals. So I think what we need to be focusing on more is these stats that I see where it's 70% of shots around the rim are going in against Syracuse, which is one of the highest marks they've given up in, I should say, a while, but really since last year, because it was really bad in that category as well last year.
No doubt. And you look at the two-point defense, too. I mean, you're not going to get a lot of very high-quality looks outside of the paint too. So that may be playing a factor in it as well. And like you step inside that 3-point arc, it's very tough to shoot a long two against a 2-3 zone. So that's another thing. I think offensively in this game, just to switch gears here a little bit, when I look at the Syracuse team, this has to be a game for the guards because you're going up against this Miami team that is pretty good on the interior. I mean, Quincy Guerrier, love him. He's been phenomenal. He's defied a lot of the stiff competition that he's faced so far this season. But this could be a game where he maybe struggles a little bit. Right now, Miami is the best defense on the interior right now in terms of 2-point percentage. So this may be a tough one for Quincy to get going, but Buddy, Joe, Allen, those are guys that could potentially light it up because this is a team that in conference play is allowing almost 40% from three. So this is a game for the guards, and especially if Chris Likes is back, that's going to be, again, we talked about this, I'm trying to remember what game it was. I think it was UNC.
Yeah.
Where Gerard is going to have a definitive height advantage at the point guard position if Chris Likes plays. It's actually going to be almost half a foot. So that's one of those things that I'm going to be watching for in this game. If Likes plays, Gerard has a chance to take advantage of that. If he doesn't play, well, then you kind of neutralize there. But regardless, the defense is going to be giving you looks from three all night long. Can you take advantage? And if they don't, Syracuse probably loses the game.
Right. No, the guards are everything. That's a good point for sure. All right, before we get into the prop shop, I just spewed some numbers at you. Let's give the real numbers guy a chance here. It's Anthony DeBundo from the Daily Orange. Time for DeBundo's digits.
The numbers you need to know. Anthony DeBundo breaks down the biggest stats for this week's Syracuse matchup.
Stats, everybody.
DeBundo's digits.
If you ain't taking stats, kick the f*** out the class.
On the Locked On Syracuse podcast.
All the stat-aholics, where you at? Let's go.
I won't disappoint you with the numbers of just how bad the Orange's defense was in Pittsburgh's 96-point showing on Saturday, but the Cuse is now outside the NCAA bubble, according to Bart Torvitz's projections and previous team comparisons. Tuesday is a must-win to avoid dropping to 1-4 in the ACC for the first time since 2018 and the second time in 5 years. The Hurricanes are bad at shooting, they turn the ball over too much, and they're without their best player and ball handler in Chris Likes. The senior point guard was voted hardest player to guard in the ACC before the season, but according to a source close to DeBundo's digits, he is not likely to play on Tuesday night. Miami ranks 320th nationally in three-point shooting, and only has one player the Orange need to worry about from beyond the arc. That's freshman Matt Cross, who is shooting 45% from three. They're 212th in turnover rate offensively and are not good from the free throw line either. None of these are a good recipe for going up against the Orange's zone defense, but where Miami is good is an interior defense. The Canes rank 34th in two-point defense and could make life difficult on the inside for both Allen Griffin and Quincy Guerrier. If there's a game for Buddy Boeheim and Gerard to get going, it's this one, as Miami is vulnerable to three-point shooting and tends to allow teams to shoot. Teams are shooting about 36% against the Canes this year, which is about 5% better than the Orange's percentage on offense. As a defense, they force opponents to be shooters, and Syracuse needs to find the right balance in terms of both shot selection and getting the ball inside. And the player to watch for the Canes is Philly native and sophomore Isaiah Wong. Wong was a late bloomer in high school, and he really struggled in his freshman year with both turnovers and efficiency. But as he showed in his 30-point showing against Louisville on Saturday, he's quickly emerging as one of the better ACC players. He's an aggressive, slashing guard that likes to have the ball in his hands, and the Orange's zone will need to prevent him from penetrating the lane and attacking the rim. He's improved his offensive rating from 97.7 last year to 116.7, with 100 being average, and he's cut his turnover rate from 21.6% to 10%. His improved efficiency will need to be monitored by both Buddy Boeheim and Joe Girard at the top of the zone. Now that's enough about Miami. Let's do some early conference observations about the Orange. Now that we have a 4-game sample, which is still pretty small, we can look at some metrics. No team in the ACC is worse at defending the glass than the Orange. No team is playing faster than the Orange, and no team is shooting a higher percentage of their shots from beyond the 3-point line. Jim Boeheim said he wants the Orange to get the ball inside more, and they did that against Pittsburgh, but they are still going to need to make shots eventually, and not one player on this team is making them consistently game to game. Joe Girard and Quincy Guerrier are the only players shooting above their percentages from last season, and Buddy Boeheim is all the way down to 26.7% from beyond the arc. KenPom says that Syracuse has a 69% chance to beat Miami by a projected score of 74-68. Bart Torvik, which is actually slightly higher on the Orange and lower on Miami, has the Orange at 77% to win by a projected 75-67 score. So while the conventional wisdom may be that the season is over after three losses in four in the ACC, it is not yet, and the Tuesday win would go a long way towards rehabilitating the Orange's NCAA tournament resume.
All right, thanks to Anthony DeBundo, as always. You can find his work on Twitter at Anthony DeBundo and over at The Daily Orange. We always love when he gives us his numbers breakdown. Before we get into our bets of the week and our Bet Online segment, we're going to pick the spread. We're going to give you our prop shop bets. Just want to remind you, if you're betting this year and want more wins, who wouldn't want more wins? I think that's all of us.
I could use a win. Listen. I could use a win, Tim.
Yeah, you had a tough one the other night, right?
Oh, my God. I had Baylor -9 against Kansas last night, and I don't know if anyone saw it, but I think some walk-on banks in a three with, like, at the buzzer from half court, and it went from 11 to 8, and I was pulling my hair out. I need Locked On Bets. I need Locked On Bets.
Yeah, you do. Listen to Locked On Bets. Yeah, subscribe now. Get in your podcast feed every morning. It's your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball. Maybe they would have helped you with that game tie. Football, NBA, locks all winter long from Locked On Bets. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All right, we're going to get into our picks. The prop shop is next.
Real quick, got to tell you about the best place on the internet to shop for car parts. That, of course, is rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's almost impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. So why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning, like, is your Odyssey an LX or an EX, and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing only the brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at your home and also in your pocket. And one reason to repair and maintain your car is to save money. And that's the best thing about rockauto.com, is that you could choose to spend 30%, 50%, or even 100% more for the exact same auto parts that you're going to get at a chain store or new car dealership. And not only that, but chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. So rockauto.com's prices, though, they're the same for everyone, and they're always reliably low. And one of the best parts about rockauto.com is it's a family business that's been serving auto part customers online for 20 years. It's the consistency that makes them the best. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts for hundreds of manufacturers, and be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Again, when you go to rockauto.com to fix up your car or truck, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Okay, time for the prop shop, and I've got a smile on my face right now, Ty.
Oh, Tim.
It's a heater. Over here. Yeah, it's
listen,
fake
I wasn't
money,
terrible
so that's why.
Last week, I wasn't terrible.
Yeah,
but,
you were 3-3.
I mean, you are something special right now, my friend.
Yeah, 5-1 last week, 32-20 overall on the season for myself. That puts me up 14-10. God, I wish that was real money.
Jeez.
That'd be great.
Like 2 months of rent right there.
Yeah, you're 23-29, down 580 overall. So this is, I mean, you might need to start just taking the other side of me and trying to claw your way back.
Yeah.
We never agreed on a bet, but maybe I'll be getting a cameo or something out of this deal. We always
Eric Dungy cameo. Listen, especially with the way that I'm winning or not lack thereof winning on this,
right.
I don't think I can afford the Boeheim cameo of, what is he, like $200? But Eric Dungy,
probably.
I think we can make that happen. I think he's like 25.
Yeah, notice how I bring up, what are we playing for when I'm up by this much money? That was
Remember,
strategic
I came back and got you on football.
Yeah,
so
you did.
We got a lot
you
of ball did. Game left here.
It can change quickly. Our first prop shot bet this week, the over-under we're setting for Syracuse made threes. Obviously, they've been struggling lately. They're averaging right around 8 a game. We're going to bump it up a little to 9.5 this week as the over-under, and I'll explain why in a second, but who do you have or which side are you leaning for that one?
I'm going to go with the over. We laid out the numbers in this one that Miami is not great defensively, and even if they do get some of their guys back in this game, I don't know how much that's going to help them on the defensive side of the ball. This Miami team is one of the worst in the conference in defensive efficiency, and of course, three-point shooting is a big reason why. So give me the over 9.5. This could be a get-right game for the Syracuse offense.
On the season, Miami allowing teams to shoot 36% from deep against them. That's 262nd in the nation. They also are allowing 42% of their points allowed to come from three-point range, which is amazingly the sixth highest mark in the country. Syracuse shoots a lot of threes. Miami gives up a lot of attempts and gives up a lot of makes. So I think they're going to actually kind of break out in this game. And this is really a dream matchup for the guards in that regard. Easy over for me there. Speaking of the guards, Kadari or Joe? We got to do some sort of Kadari Joe prop every week. Age-old
question.
Yes. More minutes in this game. Kadari or Joe for you?
I'm going to go with Joe, and it's because of the offense here. I don't know if Syracuse is going to need to lean on its offense or on its defense as much, and maybe it'll be one of the things where Jim wants to get a little bit of defensive momentum early on, but I'm going to go with Joe here because I think this could be a game that really favors him and his playing time just because he's going to spark this offense.
I agree. He'll probably start and have a good game, would be my guess. Who will lead Syracuse in scoring? We'll run down the odds. Quincy with a slight advantage, plus 190. He's the highest on the board. Alan Griffin, plus 200 after the quietest 28 points I've ever seen in my entire life last week. Buddy yeah. was plus 220 or is plus 220 this week. JG3, plus 325. He's really slipped. Marek, plus 330. Kadari, plus 475 if you're really feeling a flyer. I'm going to go Buddy. He was 0 for 8 last game. He's shooting 27% from 3. It's just got to go up at some point. And like we said, Miami gives up a lot of threes.
I'm torn here. I'm really torn. I'm between Griffin and JG3 because I don't want to double up on the Buddy pick because that'll get me nowhere in terms of the standings.
Right.
But do I want the value or do I want the sure thing? You know, I'm going to go with Griffin here.
Yeah, it's probably a good
just
call.
Because, listen, Griffin takes some bad shots, but some of those bad shots go in. And also, I think when he is having a bad scoring night, he's more apt to adjust and try to get offense in different ways, whereas JG3, it's kind of three or bust.
Right. All right, time for our Betting Edge segment here presented by betonline.ag. You can use our promo code LOCKEDON and get a 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag. This spread coming from betonline.ag, as of recording right now, Miami is dogs by 5.5, Syracuse 5.5-point favorites in this matchup. Syracuse actually has lost 4 straight against the spread since the pause. They have not won a game against the spread. They've actually lost 5 of their last 6 against the spread, and the only one that they have won in the past 6 was the Buffalo game, which was kind of a miraculous cover because it went to overtime.
Barely.
So,
yeah.
I don't know if we're going to count that as great.
Yeah, the money yeah. counts the same, but it felt a little right. dirtier with that one.
Yeah, so it's hard, but I think I'm going to take Miami with those points. I do think Syracuse will win the game, though.
I'm with you. I hate to pull the same picks that you're making right here, but, I mean, Miami plays close with these teams. We laid it out. They're playing two-point games pretty much against some of the stiffest competition, and it very well could come down to it at the end, just maybe not a last-second possession, but Syracuse is up 3. They're playing the fouling game a little bit with Miami, and it ends up being a 3 or 4 point victory for the Orange.
Yeah, and then real quick, over-under. I'm going to take the over just because it's Syracuse's defense, and I'll probably won't take an under the rest of the year the way they're playing.
You know, I am going to go under here. I think that this is a game that could be a little bit, in terms of like the possession length, we could see things stretched out a little bit there. And who knows, could be a pretty sloppy game too with Miami and the way that they're not very great on offense. So I'm going to go with the under here.
And that is 143 is the over-under at betonline.ag. All right, well, enjoy the game, everyone, as much as you can. Hopefully Syracuse bounces back for all listeners out there. And we will talk to you guys with a full recap of this Miami game tomorrow on the show. Enjoy.